Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Well, it's coming. Right for us. Right for us.
Dan Hampton.
Guys, I can't take it.
OB.
It's all about that game.
Ed Obradovich.
Yeah, okay.
Goss.
Hey, hey, what's the question?
Glenn Kozlowski.
Okay, let's move on.
Touchdown, Bears.
An OB show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on the station with the best Bears coverage, 720 WGN.
Well, this is hard to believe right now, even in Bears' recent history of patheticness. 24-24 Bears and the Ravens was 38 seconds to go. It looks like they're going to be going to overtime.
Well, just horrible. Coaching, Bears, you know, Dan, you said it best. They look like a team that is trying to lose a game instead of, you know, at crunch time, taking advantage and putting a team away. They figure out how to, you know, make mistakes to lose it.
That's called playing scared to death football.
And,
period.
And you know what? Not only do we invite defeat, we set the table for it. We were in control of this game, and then due to the superfluous attitude of John Fox, the team has allowed this thing to slip away. And now, as you said, we are in for a bumpy ride here in overtime.
So it was a 24-16 game, just to set the scene a little bit here. The Bears had a third and one, pick up a yard, game over. They get they get knocked back 2 yards. They punt it away. Up by eight, and Michael Campanaro goes 77 yards to make it a two-point game. The Bears give up a two-point conversion. They get the football. They do nothing with it. And now the Ravens have a Hail Mary shot with 12 seconds to go.
And to make it worse, though, Jordan Howard on third down, you know, when he didn't, he catches the ball in the flat or he's running, he actually steps out of bounds, Ed. Now, I want you to think about this. If he just falls down in bounds, they're going into overtime. He by stepping out of bounds, they had to punt the ball away, and now Flacco and this group get a chance to win the game potentially, at least one play,
right?
Maybe two.
Right, they got 12 seconds here to get into field goal range.
Can't end on a defensive penalty, so I'm obviously they're going to launch it downfield.
Right now. The Bears have been conservative the entire football game, and because Baltimore's been so bad, it's worked out, or at least it was. What's that, OB?
They're as dumb as we are.
Yeah. Well, there was good today, and then there was what's happening right now. Mitchell Trubisky on the day. I mean, the Bears haven't let him do anything. He's 6-for-13, 86 yards. The one touchdown pass that, he threw one touchdown pass, and then they got another one from Tariq Cohen on a creative play and a beautiful pass by the 5'6" running back.
Here's the problem, though. You cannot keep going to the trickery well and think that you're going to win football games. Ed and I, we had this discussion. I said, well, they're doing this. And Ed, you had the great point. You said, look, the objective in the National Football League is to get to the Super Bowl and win it.
That's
it. And you can't do it the way this team plays.
This, to me, when I see this, well, we want to keep him under wraps. We want a conservative. He's a rookie. He's this. He's that. That's not the way this game is supposed to be played. I don't care what team, where it is, or whatever it is. My Lord, you mean to tell me we had a kid gave up half of planet Earth to get draft him number two, and they're scared to death to let him – let him have it. Let him go after it. Put the ball down the field. Let him be himself. What kind of coaching staff does that? You tell me.
Hampton OB with Kaz, by the way, I should tell you as we start the show, is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. And thanks as
always. They're driving us crazy.
I'll
tell you this. And Mark, as you're getting organized here, hey, folks, you know, you cannot understate how insane this is to allow what is happening happen. And again, I said, why would you let John Fox come in the locker room, let alone get on the team bus? I mean, after he despite his, you know, his ridiculous hands-off approach where he basically stands around and has his mouth agape. This is ridiculous. We are now going into overtime for what reason? That we have no sense of accountability, no sense of urgency to close out an opponent on the road that, trust me, has laid around and flopped around all day. Now they want to win.
This week on Chicago's Best, Brittany and Elliot are heading north to the Burbs for the Best Bites. Don't miss an all-new Chicago's Best in the North Burbs. That's Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. They're getting into overtime. We're going to take a quick time out, back.
Right.
And
just hold before we go.
Yeah.
You know what? If you're going to solely keep this kid under control and you're just going to run the football, how is he going to advance? Somebody, you listeners out there, somebody, you tell me. How is this kid going to get better restraining him, restraining our offense, just so we don't make so many mistakes, so we could get to the end of the game and maybe win a game? Folks, that's not how it's supposed to be done. My God, had some faith in this kid.
I completely agree.
And they couldn't. But one of the problems, too, Ed, is we talked about it.
Jesus.
Our center couldn't snap the ball in shotgun. He went back-to-back plays where if Trubinsky isn't in, that's either a safety or a touchdown for Baltimore. So, you know, Trubinsky saves
Glenn,
this deal. But
that's been
we couldn't
going
get in shotgun.
On with Whitehair every game. Every game has been the same thing with him. Bad snaps. Plus some other stuff.
It's like he almost had to be a circus clown to catch the balls that he's slinging back there. And the one on the goal line was 12 feet over his head. I mean,
He was athletic enough to scoop it and actually throw it away, but it was ridiculous.
The whole point here is this shouldn't be happening.
No, not at the pro level.
Not at this level.
Nope. You're right.
In overtime, 24-piece, coming on back real quick here. Hampton will be with Kaz, presented by Chevy Drives, Chicago.com. We'll see what happens in the OT, 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hampton OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers, and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
WGN, this was not the plan. The plan was to be talking about a Bears win right now. Instead, we're talking about the Bears potentially giving the ball back to the Ravens in a 24-24 game in overtime with a little bit over 7 minutes to go. Hamp OB and Kaz presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. I am Mark Carmen. So, you know, to what you were just saying, OB, let's follow up on that. You've got a guy in Mitchell Trubisky who, yes, the Bears don't have the best offensive line, and yes, they don't have the best wide receivers, but to have him hand the ball off all day long, I don't exactly understand what they're trying to accomplish. I mean, what is the point?
There isn't one.
He just
scared
gave me the
to
answer,
death
Mark.
Football.
There isn't one.
Is what it is. Scared to death football.
I mean, and if that's what you're going to play, you don't belong in a National Football League coaching. Not these kids. We got not to talk in circles, but we got a young quarterback we gave up half this planet for, and now we got him in there and we're restraining him. All of a sudden, what are we? Pop Warner football?
And we got to run. We're relying on trick plays to boot. It's trick plays to score. It's insanity. And then, you know, defensively, we have a chance to put them away, and they're outside of field goal range. What's his name? Jumps offside.
Floyd gives him a reset down
because he can't control himself and understand that in the big moment, you got to make a play.
Let me tell you something. If I was the owner of this team, we lose this football game today. Mark, if we lose this football game, not the head coach, not an assistant coach gets on that plane. Find your own damn way home from Baltimore. You want to know why? Because you couldn't find anything on the field to bring us a victory playing against a lousy football team.
That wasn't even – I mean, half the time, these guys weren't even going hard on defense. They were standing and stopping. I'm talking about the Baltimore Ravens.
They were ripe for picking. And you know what? We basically stood around and kept coaxing them into beating us. And we – guess what? It looks like now we've got our hands full. They got the ball.
And we shanked the punt, it appears, as well. Yep. So they may already be in field goal range.
I hope somehow we can win this game. But I'll tell you what, folks. What's going on here? I mean, all the Bear fans, it's right in front of you, folks. You know the game of football. You see it. You understand the game. I know a lot of coaches think, well, when, you know, you call in, you people don't know what you're talking about. Wrong. You people do know what you're talking about.
The Bears wide receivers, Tanner Gentry and Trey McBride, two guys like maybe you'd want to see how they would do perhaps. Right now, who knows if the Bears get the football back. They have zero catches between the two of them. They've been targeted once.
Well, I'm going to tell
combined.
You. Let me tell you, I saw Gentry out on the field when our quarterback started running around, Trubisky, okay? He gave up his route and was just trotting and standing around and looking. It's on film.
Yeah, well, again.
You know, but here's the thing, Mark.
He can't get open.
Yeah. I mean, what was it? Okay. 3 minutes and 33 seconds. We had 11 points.
Well, shouldn't you at least try?
And there was – we had – not only Baltimore could not come back without us allowing them to. Everything had to be, you know, perfect. We not only allowed them to drive for a field goal by Leonard Floyd
jumping
off sides and enabling them to get another first down to go ahead and grind out enough yardage to be able to put their kicker into position. But then we refused to cover a kick. Late in the game, that's when you decide who wants to win the game and you find out on special teams. Because guess what? Those aren't your frontline guys. Those are guys standing over there with the coach most of the day. Right, Kaz?
Yeah,
and
those are.
You got one job. Let's go wide-eyed and go get the guy who fields the ball. No, what happens? How far was it? A 92-yard punt return?
78.
77.
Well, it looked like it was.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Well, what made it bad though is, you know, he outkicked his coverage number one, and then we had poor coverage. You know, when they were covering the punt.
So. And then they have to get a 2-point conversion. And oh, that was pretty easy. They walked in on it.
So this is
everything had to go exactly right for them. We did nothing to stop it.
To the Bears' credit, they did just force a 3-and-out and stopped them on 3rd-and-2. So they're going to get
Joe Flacco forced well, the 3-and-out. Well, let's be honest, Joe Flacco's
been awful.
He is their version of Mike Glennon at quarterback.
Well, listen, the way things went today, I mean, obviously we had the win. We had the win in our grasp. We had the win in our grasp, and I can tell you, sitting there and watching this, and the way we play. Instead of being positive, we're just very negative. Don't do anything stupid. Don't. And guess what? Quarter after quarter, we do stupid things, offensively and defensively, with penalties, running the wrong routes.
Well, we get the ball. Okay, we win the toss. We get the ball in overtime.
We get a holding call.
Well, instead of, you know, taking it on the 25, we decide to run it out, and Cohen runs out of bounds at the 20. Now it looks like Jordan Howard is breaking along with here.
So,
and saving potentially the Bears have a chance now on just a great effort by Jordan Howard. But keep in mind, Jordan Howard is the guy that stepped out of bounds on 3rd down with 23 seconds to go in the game that would have, you know, potentially gave Baltimore again. These are the things that are going to absolutely – you're going to lose more games than you'll win when you do these kind of things and you make these kind of mistakes. Now, the kid.
Don't tackle a ball, you tackle a guy.
And the kid now, I give Howard credit because he just snapped off a big-time run that made a world of difference for the Bears, although they just lost 4
well,
yards.
He's out of breath.
Outside, now they're outside of the field goal range.
He's out of breath, and Tariq Cohen comes in, and they get in for a 4-yard loss.
Well, and let's talk about the big story of the day, too. It's a little dreamy right now with the Bears sitting at 1-4 and playing another less-than-inspiring football game. But Aaron Rodgers broke his right collarbone today. It's probably going to be out for the rest of the season. The Packers are going to lose if they haven't already. I've got to check the score here.
I think they're getting worked over pretty good by Minnesota now.
So Green Bay is 4-2. The Bears win this game. They're 2-4. And you've got a 4-2 Vikings team and a 3-3 Lions team. That's just simple math. Season ain't over. Period.
No, it's not even close to being over. But if you play like this each and every week, you're not going to get a defense or a team less inspired than the Baltimore Ravens were today, and they're in the game now. So trust me. What we're saying, you're right, Mark. In theory, they have a chance. But
when we had a chance to win today, cause we get the ball in overtime, first play, Massey, the right tackle, holding. Now it's long yardage. We get a sack. Kyle Long and Massey both get bull rushed back to the quarterback for a sack. On 3rd down, The kid just had to, you know, desperation scramble. That is not going to win anything, let alone this game today.
So, and it appears that the great Mitchell Trubisky is perhaps bailing the Bears out on a third and 11, finding Kendall Wright for a first down.
In an all-out blitz, he stepped up into the pocket and, you know, give this kid credit. This is big-time chops doing this, and then and kept his head downfield.
And good for him for taking a risk and going for that ball was thrown into traffic.
The amazing thing is that was Bellamy, wasn't it?
No,
Kendall
it was
Wright.
Kendall Wright.
And Kendall Wright. He caught the football. Our receivers caught a ball, folks.
Hey, write that down, somebody.
Yeah.
Minnesota, the final with Green Bay, is 23-10. So the Vikings improved to 4-2. Now, the Packers go to 4-2.
What I'm trying to figure out, though, now, why aren't the Bears just lining up and ending the game with a field goal? Isn't it? Both teams have had a possession.
Yeah,
field goal
and next score wins.
Yeah.
You're on the 21-yard line, and you just lost 3 yards.
Okay, but I'll tell you why. Because John Fox is the guy making decisions.
Wow.
That's why we're not doing the right thing.
What happens if he fumbles the ball in this next play? Well, I mean, it's like you're in position.
Well, one of the things you've got to worry about, I'm sure they'll go from Trubisky being under center. They're not going to take a chance down here with him snapping the ball in a shotgun.
You're on the 25, so it's a 42-yard field goal.
But you were on the 21 or 22
right.
when you – took, you know, when you got your first down. I'm just trying to get in my own head coaching style and thinking is of this kind.
Well, I'm assuming he's hoping to pop one.
And you know, essentially,
everybody fumbles.
I get it.
And Jordan Howard is being given the ball with his bad right shoulder, hopefully not going to be stripped, because you know that's the only thing left on the table for the Ravens to do. This is madness.
New Orleans.
And now it's third down and 11. And think about this, too. You know, if you're going to go for the game winner, don't you want to do it on third down? So if you have a bad snap or something, you could just spike the ball? Doesn't that make sense?
That makes sense.
I mean, I'm just trying to understand the lack of common sense by this moronic coaching staff for the Chicago Bears. These guys are village idiots.
Yep.
They should not be coaching in the National Football League. This is embarrassing.
And you know what? Hey, we walked into this studio with, you know, smiles and high aspirations. And look what it's gone become and how it's devolved into this. This is ridiculous.
Nationwide's on your side locally. That's our Jeff Vukovich. Vuk Hampel. My man. Jeff
Perk. Field goal.
Jeff
Perk. Vuk out there coaching.
Well, yeah, Vuk would have, would have at least maybe on third down. Lined up to kick a field goal? I don't know.
He also personalizes your insurance needs. He's been doing that for decades. Simply click JeffVuk.com. Vuk is on your side. The Bears are lining up to kick
a
field
goal. This is a
chip
shot. 40-yarder.
It's a chip shot. Look where it's at. Look where he's at.
Yep, 40 yards. 40-yard field goal for the win.
I'm just going to remind you, if it doesn't go through, it wasn't a chip shot, but it was. And, hey... Ladies and gentlemen,
you better not be jumping up and down, Bears.
After all of that, the Chicago Bears have somehow, some way, in the least pretty way possible, have come out of Baltimore with a win, 27-24. We'll take a quick timeout, talk about it. Yes, Hampo?
Mitchell Trubisky, first time in, 11 attempts for a rookie quarterback to go into Baltimore and win a game.
12. Actually, this would be the 12th,
The 12th. They were 11-0 against rookie quarterbacks.
Let
me tell you my observation. Okay, my overall observation, you just saw two coaching staffs that will not be there in the year 2018. You can make book on it.
Quick timeout. We'll discuss a Bears win coming on back, 720 WGN and CLTV.
Blitz coming. Trubisky steps up, throws, and the catch is made. Kendall Wright, leaping grab inside the 25-yard line. From 40 yards out, and the Bears win it. The Chicago Bears come into Baltimore, and Mitchell Trubisky, their quarterback, has won his first game in the NFL.
History indeed. First NFL win for Mitchell Trubisky. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Guys, it's been 658 days, 10 losses. Have no idea where that sound's coming from, but I'll just continue going. The last time the Bears got a road win was 2015, December the 27th at Tampa Bay.
Well, the thing, Mark, that you got to be looking at today, if you look at the whole from opening day to, I mean, opening minute to the last second, all it was is our defense. If our defense doesn't, and by the way, Baltimore, you talk about our offense being horrible, they are absolutely worse. It's hard to believe, but they are. But I'll tell you what, we got three takeaways, and to me, the story was today, it was about our defense. Finally, we got some takeaways, and Hicks, in the middle of our defensive line, that guy is so valuable. He disrupts everything. Their running game, their passing game. He is, to me, so far, after what, six games? He's got to be the most valuable player. But it was the defense that kept us in the game, and we win it. And I really want to rip into that coaching staff on offense.
We got time.
I can't.
We're here until six.
I mean, it's.
Or, I mean,
look,
I can't. I will later.
You know, the defensive backs, Fuller.
Was great.
Kid that has really struggled. Good to see him. Amos finally, you know, gets his. Here's a kid that I've
it's
always
all about
liked,
defense, Glenn.
But he, you know what? He just made this huge play ultimately that won the game for us. So.
Defensive.
Six.
Let's go to the defensive star of the game, which is brought to you by Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Kaz, who are you giving it to?
Well, you know what? I'm going to give it to Kyle Fuller. You know, the interceptions were caused by him because he was knocking the ball and tipping the ball in the air, and then the other defensive backs were catching it once he broke on the receiver and, you know, got the ball and wrestled it out of the receiver or the receiver's hand. So I'm going to say Kyle Fuller was the defensive player of the game, but, you know, the Mueller game-changing moment. And are we there yet, Mark? Because that would go...
We're not there yet.
Okay,
but
then I'll stop there. But, yeah, I would give it to Fuller. The kid took a lot of heat, was under a lot of stress. You know, a lot of people questioning, is he really injured? A lot of things happened to this kid over the last couple of years. He, and I'll never understand why Baltimore kept trying to throw at him, because he locked him down all day, no matter who you put there. That kid was breaking on the ball and knocking it down.
That whole defense played pretty damn good today, in against the run and against the pass.
We can
and you know what, real quick, Danny Trevathan, you can say what you want. We all took issue with the hit up in Green Bay a week ago, 2 weeks ago. And you know, hey, it was – the thing that bothered me was we needed him desperately against the Vikings Monday night. He wasn't there. Well, guess what? He was the difference in the game. We had Danny on Monday night against the Vikings. We would have been able to shut them down a lot more. But he was there today. He made a lot of big plays, especially in the first half.
The Mueller game-changing moment, sponsored by the Mueller family of dealerships in Hoffman Estates, Gurnee, Highland Park, and Merrillville. Hamp, you were giving Adrian Amos a lot of love. Is that how you would go with your game-changing moment? Pick
well,
six, baby.
I don't see how it can't be. You know, he right place, right time. As you said, it was a carom off of the receiver forced by Kyle Fuller, and boom, Amos took it. But what I liked was, you know, he wasn't content just to get the ball and get down. He returned it for a touchdown, which ultimately put us in position to win this game.
Total tackles, six solos. He had one tackle for a loss. He had a pick six. You know what I mean? So the kid, really, that was – but that play changed the whole momentum of the game. And that, you know, because Baltimore was driving, too,
yeah,
at that point.
Yeah, it gave us a margin.
Right,
and, but
right,
he,
right.
And, you know, a lot of times when you get benched, okay, somebody – you know, the Bears went out and they signed Quentin Demps. And Demps – was basically given the job, and Adrian Amos could have pouted, could have whined. He didn't. He basically, you know, held his water, and then when Demps goes out with a broken arm, he has come in and he has played better than he, you know, has at any other time. And that's his very first interception. The kid never picked off a pass before. Now in his third year, he's got one.
And at the time, it was a 17-13 Bears lead. Baltimore was driving.
You
felt like they were going to take the lead. They were deep in Bears territory. So it was a big moment. I mean,
that was the Mueller game-changing moment. And quite honestly, it's, you know, Ed, you said it once before. Mike Mueller could probably come in tomorrow, coach this team, and coach them up and get them better prepared. Well, and we'll see less mistakes, from Mike leading the way, right?
I know a few people, and Mike Mueller would be one of those few people that I know that it would be an empty house. Also, I mean, some other guys, Paul Tampras. There are some other people out there
that
they own this team. Wow, this would be wipeout.
Well, and let's talk about on the other side of the ball what the Bears did on the ground today. I mean, it's crazy how they ran it 54 times, 36 carries for 167 for Jordan Howard, 4 times for Mitchell Trubisky for 32, and Tariq Cohen 14 times for 32. That's a total of 231 yards on the ground, keeping the quarterback in bubble wrap. But they were able to move the ball, I guess, on the ground more than they ever have this season. So is that a good thing or a bad thing? Probably not. So it's somewhere in the middle.
Okay, we won the game. It's great defense. Right, that's wonderful. Okay, but if you sit there and you watch the defensive line and linebackers for the Baltimore Ravens, they were deplorable. They were awful.
Poor effort.
They were. You talk about pursuit and taking an angle. Not one time did they do it. And if the people that were listening here now, if you watch the game, you could see as if it was an in skirt to the right or to the left on a run. Watch the whole defensive line. They were just trotting along, sauntering along while we're pounding them, and pounding them.
Mitchell Trubisky, guys, 8 for 16, 113 yards. 7.1 per attempt, 1 touchdown. You've sacked 4 times. Quarterback rating of 94. Hamp, how do you size up Trubisky's day?
It was a winning effort. I mean, look, there was no question that this was by design. They wanted to run the ball. They wanted to augment the run with play action, some boots, some different things. Now, the best laid plans of mice and men. Obviously, the kid really got off to a shaky start. Now, here's one thing. And I don't know. I never played quarterback, but I never played quarterback as a rookie on the road. And it's a pretty formidable, you know, place going into Baltimore and all that. Well, guess what? The kid was, he was a little shook early, and you could tell he wasn't throwing the ball, you know, as soundly
confident,
as he had
right before.
But, you know, I will tell you this. And we got to give Dow Loggins a little credit. Hey, a lot of times when it
ain't I don't have to.
Well, I'm just saying. Hey, he called that you know, with Tariq Cohen threw the pass to Miller for the touchdown. We did just enough to find a way to win. And yeah, we invited defeat, and defeat came in the living room there and went overtime with us. But ultimately, you know, despite the fact that he was another strip sack, you know, the protection has not been great, but ultimately he did not throw a pick and he did not, you know, lose the game for us. Much like last week, you know, everybody says, you know, he lost a game. No, he didn't lose the game. You know, obviously he made a bad decision throwing that ball, but the kid, I think, you know, hey, look.
He won the game today, though, Dan. 3rd and 11, and he makes that completion to Wright,
Kendall
that
Wright.
Sets up the field goal.
Yeah, you're exactly
right.
He
won the game
That's
by making
point.
That throw
yeah, he made,
on an all-out blitz from Baltimore.
Yeah, and so, there, you know, was it a glorious outing? No. Did he win a game? Yeah, and that's what matters around here.
Well, what attributed to us maintaining the ball, especially in that first half, the Baltimore Ravens had, what, 8 penalties for almost 70 yards, and all at critical times. So that was a plus for us. Stupid play.
How often do you win a football game completing 9 passes? I mean, they had eight passes completed to get into overtime.
Never.
One catch in overtime.
Never.
Yeah, this is unusual. But, you know, we talk about the National Football League, and it is a passing league. The rules are set up to almost force teams to throw the ball around. It is. But there is still numbers that are magical in the NFL, and 350 gives you a chance to win total yards. We went to 365 today and won the game.
Yeah, but Glenn, here
normally you want it to be, you know, 300 passing and the 65 rushing.
And that's the norm in the league.
Right, right.
And we played a horrible football team. I knew they were bad. I had no idea that they were this bad. But I'm going to tell you, we got next week? We've got
Carolina
at home. They're not going to come in here and lay down. But, again, this is a passing league. And if you think we're going to run, run like
well,
this.
Well, we won't be able to do
run
it
run like
Carolina,
this game after
believe.
Game till the end of the season, till the 16th game.
No.
You're wrong. It's not going to happen. Howard will get hurt because you can't keep feeding the ball, letting them run.
36 and times it, he carried it
and,
today, too.
And that's right, 36 right. times.
It's a lot.
I tell you what, you're opening them, giving them a chance of getting himself popped pretty good.
Here's the other fact, though, that we got to talk about. Part of why I think they had to run the ball quite a bit, too, is our center couldn't snap the ball to our quarterback and shotgun. I mean, it almost became laughable in that one series where he's just launching the ball one high, 8 feet over his head, and then he rolls the next one. I mean, it was
– it's a juggling act.
It basically shrinks your offense in half when you can't get in shotgun and trust that your guy's going to be – because even the last play, you had to go under center to make that completion, the third to 11.
Oh, you think that they were at the end of that game, they're going to trust him, that center, white hair, to snap the ball back?
But they, you
not
know,
on your life.
It took – but it also – that's part of the explanation on why – they didn't throw that many passes. I mean, part of throwing the ball is you got to get your quarterback away from the line of scrimmage so he could catch it and find the receiver.
Okay.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
Here's a kid they drafted
right.
in the second or third round. He played tackle where? At Kansas State, Danny?
Yep.
At Kansas State. Never played center.
Yep. Still never played in the preseason
and guess
either,
what?
Man.
He still hasn't played center.
That's what I'm saying.
This guy's been bouncing the ball back for the last 2 years, and we got coaches thinking, what seems to be the problem with him? How about he can't play the position?
Yes.
You idiots.
Hey, thanks to our guys as right off of that. Let's thank Mr. Submarine for the outstanding sandwiches, good food at a tasty price. That's Mr. Submarine. You can
great
add a
food.
Fantastic.
Love it.
Throw yourself in a Frito-Lay chip and an ice-cold RC Cola. Locations throughout Chicagoland. Visit MrSubmarine.com. Dive into delicious. It's interesting, too, because the whole city has saluted Cody Whitehair, and you three are literally the only ones that have been on him as far as what his best capabilities are since
okay.
he came in.
Tell me, who's saluting him?
Everyone.
Who?
Literally,
give me a name.
Oh,
give somebody. Who?
Brad
Thayer.
What guy?
Tom Thayer.
Who?
Tom Thayer, Brad Biggs, Glowingly. Rich Campbell. Who do you want me to name?
All everybody right, covers go ahead. The team. I forgot to tell you. How many years did they play in the NFL?
You get him, OB. You get him, OB.
No, you tell me.
Well, Thayer,
you're the one that made this statement.
I'm not making any statements.
You
I'm just
made the statement. You're right here,
well, no,
and I'm asking you, how many years did they play in the NFL? Just tell me.
How many years did Tom Thayer play in the NFL? 10 years, Hampo?
How many years did Brad Biggs and all those other guys play in the NFL?
That would be a zero, OB.
Pardon?
Zero?
Okay.
There you go.
No, but I think what you're trying to say, though, Carmen, though, is that we are the three that have identified this from the beginning, saying, look, he's out of position. I'm not saying that Whitehair isn't a good offensive
There's
lineman.
There's no question
we're
about
just
it.
Saying he shouldn't be playing
he
center.
He shouldn't be playing
That's
center.
That's all
right.
we're saying.
Right. And
it hurts the team because he's playing center.
Yeah.
That's
you don't
what we're
think
saying.
That hurt the team today? And the week before and the week before and the week before?
Of course it did. I'm lobbing you compliments,
That's all I'm telling you.
I'm with you, man. I just want to highlight. I want to lift up that you three have been on this and no one else in the city has.
Well, because
Can I
we
just
actually
let that sit there?
We watched the game together, and we could see these things happen over and over again. And you know, look, the three of us aren't the brightest guys, but we could figure out when a guy can't snap a shotgun to snap, or he's rolling the ball out, or he gets called for holding at the worst times in the world, or he gets driven back by a nose tackle 1 yard at a push, right? And in a 3 second deal, he was 6-7 yards in the
right
backfield.
There.
All right, Bears beat the Ravens 27-24 in overtime. They're 2-4. Season is, I guess, alive. Carolina coming in next week.
It is alive.
Yeah,
look, they're not out of this.
We'll take a quick timeout. Come on back. 3-1.
Is Fox still the coach?
Yeah, they're it's out over. Of it. You're right. But they have, you know, on the books and on paper, the Bears still have a chance. Unfortunately, you know, that guy's still going to collect his check, and he's still going to be walking around the sidelines.
Well, let's talk about Foxy's new look coming on back here. 312-981-7200, 720 WGN.
This is the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Hampin' OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com, 312-981-7200. Bears beat the Ravens in overtime on the road. Their 10-game road losing streak is over, 27-24, the final. The Bears are 2-4. OB, what's on your mind, my friend?
Yeah, well, I just want to tell you, before we went to that break, that little situation between you and I,
I
got to apologize for that. I should have let it go. But I got caught in a moment where I, you're telling me that I'm wrong.
I wasn't.
And I know that I'm right. and that really didn't go over too well with me. But anyways, I never should have, countered at you and went at you. And I apologize for that.
But we never let anything go.
No. One thing I will say, though, Ed, is I think Mark was pointing out that we were the only three that really saw what the flaws were in this kid as far as at the center position.
It's not his fault.
Position, right.
The last 2 years, he never played the exhibition season or in the games at center. Opening game, they put the kid at center.
Right.
That's not his fault.
Right.
That's not his fault.
And he worked on snaps over and over all week, but he just can't do it. The last play that Trubisky did throw the pass, the 3rd and 11, he was in shotgun, so I want to make sure that we correct that, because Ed and I were laughing about the fact that, they couldn't get in shotgun.
I think we started calling him Trubisky. Can we call him Trubisky?
Listen,
Mitchell?
This kid makes the team better. That's what that means. I don't know, but Dan, I know
you agree
with me.
We don't win with Glennon today.
No,
I mean, that's it. Now we got to find people that can make plays
around
to
him.
Help this kid win. Kendall Wright made a big one there at the end of the overtime.
You trust this scouting?
No.
You trust this general manager?
I don't know.
And you trust this head coach and coaching staff?
Nope.
To make those changes,
nope.
And to find those people.
Well, okay,
nope.
let me throw this at you, really.
I'm answering it over and over. Nope.
We're talking about Cody White here. Okay, so we draft him with a second round pick, trying to make him a guard. When we've already got Kyle Long at guard, and we signed Josh Sitton. When Matt Slauson should have been retained and made the center.
Right.
How much better would we be?
With Slauson.
So the same guy that made the decision to let Slauson go and draft Whitehair and make him a center is the same one we're hoping can figure out how to put this team together.
And that's why the answer
other thing,
is no.
Dan, I don't know. The guy never – did he ever play center in an exhibition game?
No.
I don't think so.
No, he didn't.
So you didn't even know if he could literally play it. And I think that's why I think a lot of the love was thrown at this kid, because most people said, wow, they put this kid in a tough spot and he's responding pretty well.
The bottom
but
line
pretty
is,
well isn't good enough
Glenn,
in the pros.
The bottom line is this. You cannot have a center, not even one time in this game, that's it lasts only so long and you play so many, that has it's an iffy if the ball is going to get to the quarterback. You can't have that.
In a shotgun
you just can't.
Snap, right.
That's exactly correct.
That can't be a sometime thing. It's got to be an everytime thing.
Absolutely.
Let's say thank you to our friends at CLTV. You can see the show every week on Sundays from 3 until 4.
You look good, by the way, on TV.
Thanks,
I don't know
guys.
What it is.
Ball spot
don't you think, Ed,
whoa.
Don't you think he looks good on
the
TV, Mark?
Behind you.
Carmen looks good.
Mark,
for you,
Mark's a handsome young. He's very debonair.
Hamp just dropped bald spot on me out of nowhere, and I'm completely rattled by that. And
well, I mean, it's hardly
really?
It's just hardly noticeable.
Okay, thank you.
Just so you know.
Hey, before we go to timeout, I just want to make mention. Tariq Cohen throwing the touchdown pass today. First rookie running back to throw a touchdown pass for the Chicago Bears since who, OB?
Oh, got to be Sayre. Excuse me.
No, you had it right.
Payton.
You had it right. Gale Sayers.
Gale Sayers?
1965.
Wow, that
first
is.
Hunch was good.
I believe you were on that team.
Wow.
52
years.
Hey,
wow.
Hey, Ed. I'm pretty sure you were on that team.
I don't. Did we win the game?
Who knows? But he won a touchdown pass.
He was in the oxygen tent.
Yeah, he was in the tent just sucking down oxygen at that point.
When we come back, I got to tell this story. When we played in Baltimore, about the guy that was handled our special teams. Right, let me just pop it out now real quick. We're losing to Baltimore. We score late in the third quarter, and so we're going to kick off. So obviously, Baltimore comes up. They have about eight guys up. So
onside
looking for an onside kick. But this coach, and folks, what I'm telling you is not made up. Our special teams coach, Mac Percival, was our kicker. He grabbed Mac Percival on the side, unbeknownst to anybody, and told him, when you go up to kick the ball, stop. Just before you get there, bend over and look like you're adjusting the ball. Then turn around like you're walking back. And then turn around real quick and hit the ball.
Kick it onside.
And kick an onside kick. And he did, and I believe the number the guy had was number 65, a big lineman, offensive lineman for Baltimore. Got the ball, ran straight through us for 65 yards for a touchdown.
Nobody knew it was coming, the onside kick.
Yeah, like they didn't know it was coming. Now, all the time, Dick Butkus and I would fly. We always sat in the back row on the right. Every flight, no matter where it was, we're coming back. That's where we sat. We're sitting there, and then Bill Martell, our equipment manager, comes up. And he starts talking about that story. Mac Percival was the only one to know. They forgot to tell the other 10 guys on our specialty team.
That's unbelievable.
It was you in your wildest dreams. You couldn't make that up.
Was Fox coaching that team, too?
No, I was just going to say that's a Fox-esque type of coaching.
That's a true story. And we looked at each other and we said, what? They forgot to tell the other guys on the kickoff team?
So the alignment got his glory.
Mac Percival was going to fool the 11 guys that are waiting for him because they had 8 guys up. We'll really fool them.
Still, all right, we're going to get to the callers when we get back, folks.
Yes, hang in there.
I'm a little speechless there. Bears beat the Ravens 27-24 in overtime. Coming on back at 312-981-7200. You want to jump on in. 720 WGN.
Buckle fakes, rolls, looks downfield, and throws. It's intercepted by Amos. Adrian Amos on the pickoff and the return. Amos still going, has a couple blockers. He's got a chance to go all the way. Adrian Amos, touchdown Bears.
That was a big one. Made it 24-13. Ravens somehow were able to get in into overtime, but the Bears survived 27-24. Mitchell Trubisky with a big third down completion in the OT. Finishes with 113 yards and one touchdown, and a big day for Jordan Howard. 36 carries, 167 yards, including in the OT, Hamp, the 53-yard run. The Ravens were trying to strip the football. It doesn't work out, and he busts it. I mean, that's basically what happened, right?
And again, you know, it's an old quandary. Hey, first things first, you wrap the guy up.
Second guy in, you
go after the ball. You know, and again, it – hey, to our credit, Baltimore, they went out there and laid an egg. They weren't in the game. They only got interested when we allowed them to tie it up in the end of the fourth quarter. But by the way, Ben Roethlisberger just threw his sixth interception inside of a game and a half. So when you look at Trubisky, it wasn't great, but not one pick.
And a lot of quarterback news today. Aaron Rodgers has a broken collarbone, could be out for the rest of the year. Jameis Winston just injured his shoulder.
You know what? Excuse me, Mark.
Yeah,
for the Packers.
Yeah.
That is devastating.
No question.
That is devastating for that team.
No doubt, and it makes the things in the division a little bit more interesting.
That entire team is built to complement him. Without him, they're not that good.
Hampton OB with Kaz, sponsored by Parent Petroleum, 312-981.
Pete Mancini.
There you go, 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Let's get a couple calls in here. Adam Hoge will be with us at the bottom of the hour from Baltimore with the locker room reaction. Let us welcome in Matt in Wrigleyville, who's been super patient. Matt, welcome to WGN. Go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen, and as always, it's an honor. Now, if you remember me from last week, I'm the guy who said if John Fox is making over $50 a week, he doesn't deserve this job. Let's all sing with me at the same time. Na-na-na-na, na-na-na-na, hey, 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 goodbye. This man needs to go. This man needs to go now. They should not wait until the end of the season. Bring somebody else in. I don't care if it's a third-string coach. He's going to be better than John Fox. He's awful. What? I got out of the car. We were winning. I got upstairs to my apartment. We were tied. How does that happen in the span of seven minutes?
Good question, Matt. Appreciate your phone call. You're not alone.
Matt, hey, listen, you're whistling Dixie. It ain't going to happen. And the Bears organization, as long as Virginia is connected with it, she's too classy of a lady. They don't do this. But you know what? Anyone that's got a set of eyes and a reasonable amount of sense looks at this Bear team and realizes how much of a squanderer team this is. I mean, again, we did everything we could to give this game away today. That goes back to a sense of urgency and preparation that we just don't have under John Fox.
Let's talk about the look today, John Fox. Growing out the beard. This is a big time move by Foxy.
He's getting spotted at the 7-Eleven. He's trying to duck the fans now.
Something's going on. I mean, I feel like he grew that in 1 week. I'm impressed with the ability of a John Fox to put on a beard out of nowhere.
He's up at the 7-Eleven buying jerky, and the fans are spotting him.
312-9.
Hey, you!
Come back here. 312-981-7200. Robert in Dallas, welcome to WGN. Go ahead, Robert.
Hey, guys. I got a couple quick hits before I get to my main point. Another week, and we got two hamstring injuries. You know, I'm just going to leave it at that. And then, this defense, like, I've been a champion of this defense for, you know, the last 3 years. Like, they were great. They gave up 10 points a day. You know, special teams gave up 2 touchdowns. But back to a point that you guys were talking about earlier with Whitehair. Like, I feel like last year Whitehair proved that he was a legit offensive lineman. But I feel he's better than either one of our tackles. Put him in Leno's spot, put him in Massey's spot. I feel like he's better than them. And I feel like Veronis Grasso is underrated. I feel like he's a really good center. When he started his rookie year, you know, he went out there and played. You know, and I feel like he's an underrated player, and I think he can handle some of those things to curtail those bad snaps and, you know, getting guys lined up.
Robert, let me tell you something. You know, when they drafted him, I'm talking about Whitehair out of Kansas State, who played offensive tackle. We had needs at other positions, okay? All right, so it is what it is. They bring him in here, and they bring him in to play guard. Is that not correct, Dan?
That was the original plan.
Yeah, so he's in here playing guard, tackle, guard. And when I told Dan on a Friday before the Sunday game, I said they're starting him at center. And I remember, Dan, you were shocked. You couldn't believe it. I said, you sure? I said, Dan, I heard it. They're starting him at center. It's not this kid's fault. I think he can be a good football player, but he is not a center in the National Football League by any stretch of the imagination. He should be back at a position where he knows either tackle or guard, and I think he'd be a huge plus for this team. But if Grasso is not the center, we got to find one. And that's one of the problems with this team. You can't have snaps 1, 2, 3 a game or whatever it is and going awry, going overhead, rolling it back on the ground. Folks, you can't have it at this level. Okay? And to ask this kid who never played the position to come into the pros and play it at a high level, it's next to impossible. It's not his fault.
Okay, so the reason Grasso was drafted by Phil Emery was he thought he would be a wonderful finesse-type center. Well, the actuality of it is he doesn't have any power. You know, he just doesn't have power. And you, especially in the zone blocking scheme, you've got to be able to come off the ball and knock people around. Well, Cody Whitehair, almost in the same boat. He doesn't have enough power. He doesn't really have enough power to play guard and certainly not enough to play tackle. He's not physically big and strong enough to play out there on the edge. So they thought, hey, we'll put him here. He'll grow into it. As you said, OB, he doesn't knock anybody off the ball. But by gosh, you know, those 4 or 5 errant wild snaps a game, hey, you can't win with them. And for him to not have mastered this and basically eliminated them up to this point tells me who the hell is in charge if you're letting somebody like that continue to go out on the field and he's not perfected his craft. This is professional football. My kid, little Dan's team, they're 6-2. They never huddle. Every play is out of the shotgun. They've never had a bad snap from a ninth grader. Let's go figure.
Hey, play ball, celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com today. Little Dan is not so little anymore, and every time he gives me a fist pump every week, I get knocked back a couple feet, which is maybe not so good for me. But that's the reality of what's going on here, so I think that's worth mentioning, Hamp.
Geezer's next.
Rick Geezer, our outstanding producer, might very well be next.
He's the genius here.
This is true.
You're the second genius. Oh,
okay.
He's the first.
Okay. 312-981-7200. You want to jump in, Adam Hogue from Baltimore at the bottom of the hour, 720 WGN.
Touchdown, Bears!
Chicago Bears conversation is here. The Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Hamp and OB with Kaz celebrating a Bears win. Beat the Ravens. Woo-hoo! 27-24, baby, in overtime.
They won despite Fox.
It was a Picasso-like performance.
Well, the problem still is, though, and we did talk about this, is the fact that we don't know how to finish, and we still set ourselves up to have teams to come back on us. When you're up 11 with, you know, 3-something left in the game, you shouldn't go into overtime. You know, that's just something you shouldn't do.
Who brought it? You're absolutely right. Who brought it today? Sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. You know what to bring, Kaz?
Yes, that would be Jordan Howard. 36 carries, 167 yards. And more importantly, too, you know, actually caught the ball much better today, even though he only had one catch. You know, again, on screens and stuff, he looks like he doesn't know how to catch it. He actually caught the ball pretty well today, but he was a difference maker today. I just don't know, again, that you can give it to him 36 times a game and expect this kid to make it through 16 games. I just don't think it's possible.
If they keep loading on that kid, which I'd hate to see, I'd like to see him involved in more of play action, sprint outs, bootlegs. I mean, you can set the run with Howard and Cohen, but my God, the bottom line is you're really going nowhere with it.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to beat these teams coming up here, you know, with this kid running ball, it's just not going to happen. And what's also was kind of nice, not that it's anything changing, right, our one of our receivers, he actually caught two passes today.
Well, and he caught the biggest ball of the game.
Yeah, Kendall Wright.
Third and 11.
Seam. And again, that was against a maximum blitz. Baltimore's coming. Trubisky was able to evade the pressure, yet kept his eyes downfield, made a real nice throw.
Well, he was targeted 3 times. He caught 2. My point being,
it's been a while since games before
a wideout doesn't even catch a ball.
But guys, in a big picture way, though, you know, Jordan Howard had to run the ball today. Cohen wasn't being effective, and it was obvious that the coaching staff had zero confidence in Trubisky being able to, you know, avoid catastrophe plays. So it was, hey, you're the only, you know, you're the guy. And so 36 carries later, he was able to punch us into a position to win.
Well, Dan, that wasn't a point I think that Glenn and I were making. If that's going to be your steady diet,
he's not going to make it
for the rest of the season, and we're going to run our way to wins, I'm here to tell you.
Won't happen.
It will. Absolutely.
It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. It's not. You've got to let this kid, and I'm talking about Trubisky now. This kid looks like he can bootleg. He looks like he's natural with it. We've seen him make enough throws in the exhibition season and last week that when he throws, he's got an accurate pass when he's on the move. You know, let's give him his head a little bit. Let's get going. Do not come up with these game plans of horse collaring this kid. You know, play after play, quarter after quarter. It's not going to happen. The kid is not going to grow with this scared-to-death football. So I just hope the coaching staff lets him go, see what you can do, see what you can get him in, the passing games, what would work with play action, with sprint outs, because he can actually handle it. And don't rely on Howard running for 160, 70, 80, 200 yards a game. It's just not going to happen. you're really putting that kid in harm's way.
Well, I agree. But one last thing, guys. And, hey, we had a lead all day. And the old saying is, you know, you throw to score, you run to win. We didn't throw to score. We got some scoring, you know, through other means. But they were running to try to win. Unfortunately, you know, it wasn't enough to hold off the Ravens.
Adam Hoge's coming up next from Baltimore. We'll hear what's going on in the Bears locker room. We may hear from Mitchell Trubisky and John Fox as well. 312-981-7200 if you want to jump on. Love to talk to you after that. 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Thanks to Mr. Submarine, the Bears postgame show. Always thanking Mr. Submarine for their good food. They're tasty prices. They're Mr. Submarine. Locations throughout Chicagoland. Open late night. Visit MrSubmarine.com.
Their sandwiches are great. They really are.
They know how to close the deal, unlike Fox.
24-13, the Bears were up. The Ravens in about...
I can't help it.
Like three thirty left.
Do I denote that you and Glenn don't particularly care for John Fox, the head coach of the Chicago Bears?
That's fair.
Is that a fair assumption there?
The head goof, yes.
The head goof, okay.
That's a fair assumption.
That's clarified.
Let's bring in Adam Hoge.
Does it show?
Adam got to talk to the head coach after the football game today. A Bears win 27-24 in OT. Was it a happy Foxy, Adam Hoge?
Yeah, but I don't know. Look, guys, I put zero stock in what John Fox says after game. So, I mean, I can tell you, I'm sure everyone's wondering why they ran the ball so much, why they didn't even try to target pass catchers downfield. I think part of that is obviously that they don't have weapons. But let me tell you this. I'll put a little bit more stock in what Mitch Trubisky told us compared to what Fox did. Fox said it was a matchup thing. Trubisky said that they actually – it had to do with what the Ravens were showing in the middle of the game. Safeties were back. They felt like they could run on it. So
right.
I do think it was a run-heavy game plan coming in, but I also think the numbers were inflated based on what the Ravens were doing. At least that's what Mitch said, and that's kind of what I saw. But still, at some point, you got to target wide receivers. You at least make the defense think about it.
Yeah, no question. You know, as great as our big back was today, he can't carry the ball 36 times a game. And I just don't think he can make it through the season with that kind of a workload, you know, especially pounding the way that he pounds away and runs the ball. It's just, you know, I just don't see it happening.
Adam?
Would you agree, Adam?
Adam? You're being entirely too negative, Adam.
Well, look, the special teams really is what got the Bears in that situation today. As annoying and boring of an offensive game plan as that was, it technically did work. It was really the mistakes on special teams that allowed, and the turnovers too hurt, obviously, but the special teams, I think it was pretty obvious they missed Sherrick McManus. I don't know why people don't pay attention to the gunners on special teams plays, but on the second return that the Ravens had, Cravon LeBlanc was literally pinned behind the line of scrimmage.
I saw that. Now,
he was originally blocking, so there's a little bit of an excuse for that, but they ran two guys at him and double-teamed him, and that's why he never even got past the line of scrimmage, let alone downfield. That's why the whole left side was open for the return.
Yeah, it got caved in, and, you know, they made the one block that sprung him to the sideline. But point of it still is, you look, the Bears, they, you know, you have 11-point lead. You jump off sides on 4th and 3. Floyd, there's just no reason for these kind of mental breakdowns that they have. Even at the end of the game, you know, as good of a game as Jordan Howard had, he stepped out of bounds right on that third down play with 23 seconds to go. That, luckily, you know, Baltimore had screwed up all their timeouts, or else they would have gotten a field goal off, at least an attempt one.
Yeah, and really, we got to give some credit to the defense. First of all, their performance the entire game, and Vic Fangio bailing Jordan Howard out for that blunder that looked way too much like Marion Barber in Denver a few years back when John Fox, ironically, was on the other sideline and got the victory in that game. But at least that one unit of the Bears defense seems like they're well coached right now. And he correctly called a defense that funneled the Ravens into the middle of the field, which allowed the clock to run out. Because otherwise, I mean, Justin Tucker has a huge leg. And if they had a timeout, if they had another timeout, the Ravens might have won the game at the end of regulation.
Right. That's how I felt, too. And luckily, again, you know, they did a good job of funneling the guy. And the guy probably should have gotten down a little bit quicker, you know, receiver. Yep. But what, regardless of it all, the Bears won. They took care of business. In spite of the fact that they, you know, it was a game that shouldn't have been that close. Did it not look like it to you there live that Baltimore, it looked like their defense was just jogging around and really not putting a lot of effort out there?
Yeah, they. I'm sure it wasn't well played on both sides, really. A lot of mistakes by the Ravens, a lot of penalties. Obviously, the turnovers killed them as well. But, I mean, let's give this Bears defense credit. I think that we have seen, those of us that, you know, can really see football, this defense has played pretty well this season without getting much help from the offense, especially when Mike Glennon was in there. But the big thing that they were still lacking was getting takeaway. That changed today. I mean, getting a pick six, getting interceptions. Kyle Fuller was excellent, glued to the receiver's hips the entire game. It makes such a big difference. It creates takeaways. And that's really really what I think took this Bears defense to a different level today, the kind of level that you need. Now they just got to figure out the offense, and obviously they can't have – you can't give up two. It's amazing they gave up two special teams returns and one.
What do you think's happened with Kyle Fuller as far as his renaissance, Adam?
Well, I think part of it is obviously he's just healthy. That makes a big difference. But the other thing is he's playing with a little bit of an edge, don't you guys think? I mean, I think that whatever happened, and this is some insight that I was able to get. I know it looked bad between him and Vic Fangio at the end of last season when Fangio kind of called him out publicly, and it seemed like they felt he was healthy enough to play and he chose not to. Those two actually bonded in the offseason. And that probably played a huge role in Kyle Fuller still being here, because there was a moment last year in December where I thought there was a 100% chance he was going to get traded or released in the offseason if they couldn't trade him. But part of the reason why he's still around here was Fangio and Fuller spent some time together in the offseason. They bonded. He's healthier. He's playing with an edge. I think we're seeing that not only in his coverage, but his run support has been great all season. He's hitting hard, and actually the safeties hit hard today too, which was a good thing to see. So I think that's a big reason for Kyle Fuller's resurgence here.
Okay, and not only that, he's in a contract year. Come on, let's be realistic.
He's playing, just lay it out there. He's going hard because he's going to get paid.
That being said, let's go back to Mitchell Trubisky. Early in the game, they tried some boots. They tried to let him throw the ball. He was wild. He was errant. Obviously, that was like, okay, you know, that's not a good plan. And then when you couple that with the fact that our offensive line still has protection problems, especially Cody Whitehair and his inability to properly snap in the shotgun, everything was, you know, with the lead, now, okay, we're going to hunker down and try not to make mistakes and give the game away. And that was working pretty well into the very end. But all things being considered, you got to give Trubisky a lot of credit. The last pass play of the game, he, you know, was facing an all-out blitz. They did get in shotgun. He was able to get the snap, evade the rush off of his right side, keeping his eyes downfield, threw it and completed it to Kendall Wright, which put us in position to go for the field goal. I got a question. Did anybody ask John Fox, what the hell are you doing running three or four plays trying to get your running back hurt before you line up and kick the field goal?
Well, are you saying you wanted them to kick right away?
Why not? It's overtime.
It's overtime.
25.
2 minutes left.
What's to be gained by trying to pound your back for his 34th, 35th, and 36th carry when he's got a bad shoulder, and all you need to do is line up and kick a field goal.
Well, the only thing I would say to that is there was a play in Minnesota a few years ago that we all killed Mark Trestman for when he kicked the ball on second down, and I think it was a 47-yard field goal. And Howard did pick up, it looks like 3 yards. Well, he lost two.
He lost two.
But really, he only got one out of that series of three runs. So It really was only a difference of a yard on the field goal, and it was a 40-yarder. So, I mean, I guess I could see that both ways. Pressman got killed, and, you know, part of the reason he got fired was for that blunder in Minnesota. So I could see it both ways.
Yeah, but you normally, though, in an overtime like that, okay, I get first and second down, but – you know, a lot of times you kick that field goal on third down, so if there's a bad snap or, you know, you have an extra down to reload and try it again. So, no, it's minor, but these are the kind of things that add up. Little things mean a lot. And when you don't do things systematically and you have a plan in place, it shows up eventually and it looks bad.
But, guys, here's the answer that I was hoping Adam would give me in some way. They were scared. They wanted to burn the clock as much as they could in case they missed it.
Yeah.
You know what? And I know.
You know what?
See, that's
right.
That's the answer. Why didn't somebody ask him, why are you scared of kicking a field goal from the 23-yard line? I mean, OB says it 100 times a show. We're taking scared to death pills. You know, we did it with the quarterback. We shrunk the offense. We got a lead. Let's don't do anything crazy. Let's don't develop him. Let's just hunker down, hand the ball up. And then we get down there and we give him three more carries. When we didn't need to, we could have lined up and kicked, you know, the field goal. Everybody goes away. Instead, it's like, why did we run three more plays? It's to burn the clock in case we miss.
Well, and also, I don't think they have much trust in Connor Barth right now. They brought in kickers last week. He's missed some field goals. You know, they've been lurking around. They've been looking around the free agency market for other options. And you know, if he misses that kick, we might even be talking about him getting cut this week. So they don't have much faith in the kicker right now. But fortunately, he came through with that one.
Adam, I have an answer for you on a situation like that. Then my answer, and the first time I ever heard that was from Dick Butkus, the great middle linebacker, and he said, then what are they doing on this team?
Right.
That's what he said to the coach. Then what are they doing on this team? And the reason why that came up, Adam, when Dick made that statement, Dick, we're playing, and we're on the special teams too. And the guys that are the marginal players, that are the special teams players, a lot of them were on the sidelines, and we're out there on the punt return, the kick return. I mean, extra point, field goal, we're out there. And that's when Dick went to the coach and asked him, why the hell are we out there? And why aren't those other guys? Why aren't those guys sitting on the sidelines? Why aren't they out there? You know what his answer was? I can't trust them. And Dick said, what the hell are they doing on this team then? That's where I got that from.
Yeah, and that makes sense. Hey, real quick before I get out of here, a note on kind of Hamp, what you were just talking about with Trubisky. I agree that early on in this game, little off. I thought he missed Gentry down the right sideline on a throw, and there was another throw to Sims on the left side that he overthrew just a little bit.
Yep.
But otherwise, this is 100% true. They do not win this game if Mike Glennon is playing quarterback. And it's not even all Glennon's fault, but look at the play, the botch snap in the end zone. And when White Hair's snapping, I don't know how you figure that out. You might have to play Hronis Grasu. I don't know. But if you can't trust the guy to shotgun snap, I don't know how he plays in this offense right now with Trubisky. But anyway, that ball gets away. There's no way. That would 100% been a safety if Mike Glennon had been the quarterback.
It might have even been a fumble recover touchdown for Bob. I mean, when it happened, I said, no, you know, Glennon could not have made that play.
You know what this reminds me of? And when you go back at him, you go back when we got Cutler and we gave half of planet Earth to get him from Denver. And then, remember, he was always under center. He could not run from a shotgun. Do you remember that the first few years, year after year? And then one excuse was that old Olin Krutz, his arms were too short. He couldn't snap it. But do you remember that? We could not run from a shotgun.
Yeah. Yeah, no. So, I mean, and then that throw that you guys were talking about, too, that's an incredible play with outstanding footwork in the pocket to get the Bears in field goal range at the end. And that's just a physical ability thing. I mean, Trubisky's going to make mistakes. He's going to miss some throws here and there. He's even going to throw a bad interception like last week, you know, when he's backed up. Every once in a while it's going to happen. But that footwork to step up under pressure like that and then to deliver
and
the
slide,
throw.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, there's just not many quarterbacks in the league that could do that, and I think that's the special talent that he has and that the Bears are hoping to maximize.
Adam, great stuff. Before you go, just update the injuries, please.
Well, the big ones are on special teams. You lose Sherrick McManus to a hamstring. It does not look good going forward. That guy had – they keep a belt that they give to the best special teamer every week. He had had it 4 weeks in a row, 4 out of 5 weeks, and I think it showed the rest of the game when you didn't have him. And then Benny Cunningham also suffers a hamstring injury. Guys, I don't know what's going on with soft tissue injuries. They have to figure this out going forward. I don't know if they have to bring in somebody new, strength and conditioning. I don't know, but this is it's getting out of control, and it's been this way for 3 years.
More yoga. They can come
no,
with me.
No, but you know, Adam's correct, though.
No, he is.
This is a serious problem within the organization. They got to look at this and figure out what this is all about, because it's happening way too much to them, this one team, the Chicago Bears.
Adam, great stuff. We'll read you at WGNradio.com.
All right. Talk to you guys next week.
Adam Hogue's Bears blog for you at WGNRadio.com, live from the game in Baltimore. 312-981-7200. Jump on in if you like. The Bears are a winner, 27-24. Carolina is up next as the Bears get it done in overtime. It's 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Big new addition on the Hamp and OB with Kaz show. It's the right before 5 o'clock sugar snack. That was delicious. You feel better, Kaz?
Yes. And it was a Snickers bar, so even better.
I mean, we literally just lived into the Snickers commercials.
And you have one of them cup things? What do you call them?
Mm-mm.
I did, OB.
Oh, you did?
Kaz, you went to Snickers. Hey, and also thank you to our friends at Mr. Submarine. Good food at a tasty price. That is Mr. Submarine. We're going to hear from Mitchell Trubisky coming up after 5 o'clock. We can talk to you now, though. 312-981-7200. Dave in Fox Lake joins us now and does not think the Bears are very good at developing their players. Go ahead, Dave. What do you got?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you. It's a great show as always. We cannot, as our oldest rival, they take a new player and they see his pluses. What we should do always is have the pluses of our system and try to match the player to the system with the pluses, not the negatives. We can't. We have to stop sticking a round peg in a square hole. If we see a good player, and hey, this guy can do this and that, maybe we can change our system to make him better. But we don't do that.
That's an interesting angle, Dave. I appreciate your call. I always look at it like a great coach takes the talent that's around them,
and they adapt and adjust to the talent.
Right. You can't just have one system. This is how I play, and you got to fit into it. If you have a great quarterback, you throw the football or whatever.
Right.
You know, if you have great defensive linemen, you know how to scheme. You should be able to take whatever you have and make the best out of it.
Well, and that is part of preparation and why NFL coaches get paid like they get paid. You know, we talked
it's also
about
it, why they get fired.
Right. We talked about it last week on defense. We already knew that we had some issues with our inside backers. One of them, you know, our best inside backer was suspended, so he was going to be out. You should have been working on nickel and dime packages with your strong safeties, walking them up, almost replacing those inside backers
automatically
to make it effort to change and give the Vikings a different look. And who knows, maybe you shut them down on those little toss sweeps and the screens that they threw at you with faster guys on the field.
And that's not a difficult thing to do, because you do have, I don't know how many linebackers, what we have, like we lost, three or four of them?
Had 11 days to prepare for that.
Yeah, but you know what? So you had some defensive backs, good, bad, or indifferent. But, boy, when you can come with that nickel, especially you can come with six backs, and you see it. You know where you see it sometimes? You see it in Green Bay. They'll only have one down lineman, and that would be the tackle that's on the nose of the center.
Right.
They'll go with one down lineman or two down. You see it constantly in the NFL. Why we were not able to make those changes and come up with that game plan, I have no idea. That's why we looked like fools last week.
Hamp, who knew how to use you the best? Because I know that you had to make adjustments, but it was for the betterment of the team at times that you necessarily didn't. You didn't feel was best for you. Is that about accurate? Am I anywhere close to being correct here?
Well, obviously, you try to find each individual player. Certain players have different types of talents, But, you know, when I look at this team, let's talk about, you know, some people that, you know, we have to count on now. Let's look at the offensive line. You know, Charles Leno Jr. is having a bad year. He just signed a new deal for $10 million a year. He's having a bad year. He's not been able to take the next step. Cody Whitehair, he's been uneven at best and maybe a washout, especially when you start adding in the errant snaps. Who else is on the offense? Well, Kyle Long. Okay. Well, he was an ex-All-Pro that's battling injuries, and he's been okay. Josh Sitton has been in and out. Not all bad, but when you throw in Bobby Massey, another free agent that we signed at right tackle, Massey, you know, he had a procedure call last week that stopped a major gain. So, I mean, that's the offensive line. Eddie Goldman has you know, he loafed getting off the field last week when he was tired. We got a 12-man on the field call. I mean, simple little things like that. But, you know, all these things come together. And we are not getting the bang for the buck or the – what would you call it? The progression of players. You know, Eddie Goldman is physically as good as pretty much any defensive lineman in the league, except we're getting a guy that's, to me, it looks like he's got a really bad stance, OB. He doesn't read blocks so well. He runs behind blocks a lot, and he's out of shape. Now, how can you hopefully progress him or project him as an all-pro or a real solid starter when he's not even in shape?
You can't take the plays off he takes off, Dan. You got to come every play. You've got to find it. You've got to find it within you. You've got to get into that moment. When you get down and you get set, whether you're an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman, that comes that time, and it sets upon you. You break the defensive huddle. You get down. They break. They come up. They get set. You get down. Bam! I mean, you're into it. You got to go. You got to perform. You got to make it work. And some people have it, some people don't have it.
So, you know, and Akeem Hicks, he was out of gas most of the day, but at least he gutted it out. He was consistently collapsing the pocket. You know, hey, let's talk about Leonard Floyd. You know, a couple of times today, in space, tight ends, and he wasn't able to close. I really expected a lot more out of this kid. And he on pass rush, there was a couple of rushes where he was reckless and able to get close to the quarterback and didn't get a sack. But, you know, these young players that were pretty much high draft picks, Leonard Floyd was, what, ninth pick in the first round?
Yep.
Eddie Goldman was a high second. I mean, these guys, they got to be dominant. They haven't been. Somehow, some way, we need a coaching staff that will get them across, you know, the average, you know, starter level and get them to where they become dominant for the rest of the team to be great.
Danny, how about Bullard? What's his situation?
Well, and I watched him today. There was a couple of plays where he was, you know, just kind of out of sorts. You know, so much of defensive line play is awareness. And he does seem to have pretty good awareness, but still, you know, these young players have got to excel for the rest of the defense. Today, make no mistake, the running game, and again, it was, what, 35 carries, 36 carries by Jordan Howard. The running of Jordan Howard and the play of the back seven on defense were the reasons why we won the game.
312-981-7200. If you want to jump in, we're going to hear from Mitchell Trubisky after our 5 o'clock news on 720 WGN.
This is the Chevy Hampin' OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
I'm going to go on record and say you did not think when you were tuning in to the Bears postgame show, Hampin' OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com, that we'd be talking about a victory today, 27-24. The Bears beat the Ravens in overtime. We're going to hear from the quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky, coming up in a moment here. We may even sneak in John Fox if these guys allow me to. Let's talk to you right now. 312-981-7200. Mike in Byron. Welcome, Mike. Go ahead. You're on 720.
Good afternoon, fellas. Hey, big W for the Bears. But I'll tell you what, man. Deion Sims is not a blocking tight end, and nor should be left alone on the left side when you got a guy like Suggs coming in,
right,
on your quarterback or your running back. He knocked Jordan Howard into Jupiter.
Yeah, and, I agree.
You know, and, I don't like yeah. to see that.
And you know what? He was brought in at about $5 million per to be a stabilizing force as a blocker. He couldn't right. block a shadow. Look, hey, guys, Suggs is almost 40 years old, and he ran through him and tossed him around like a sack of groceries. You're exactly, exactly. right. I you know, and again, this is another we go get Glennon and then draft Trubisky. We go get Sims and draft the
second-round tight end, right.
What's the
Adam Shaheen?
Shaheen. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this is crazy. And you know, I know that everybody that's going to watch that film, for instance, like Carolina, their defensive ends can't wait. They're licking their chops to come after the running backs or the quarterbacks if Sims is going to be blocking them.
Well, let me jump in here quickly and won't get into it that much.
Thank you, Mike.
But it's something that we should address down the line. I'm talking about Pace, our general manager. The blunders that this guy has done with millions and millions of dollars it's staggering. It's staggering. How this guy holds his job, I tell you what, if he was in the real world, he would have been long gone a long time ago. You can't kick out millions and millions and millions of dollars and fall flat on your face on top of it and still maintain a job. It's right in front of us, folks. Again, we'll get into it one of these days or one of these hours.
It keeps showing up. It just keeps showing up. Where the, okay, you know, look, these blunders, mistakes, cover.
$11 million contract guaranteed $6 million to guys that can't play dead? Are you kidding me?
Charles Leno, $10 million. Mike Glennon, $18.5 this year. Neither one is worth it. Look across the defense. McPhee was his big signing. We've gotten virtually nothing from that guy except for the first. He was bad his first two games. Then he went on a run of about five games where he was really, you know, able to wreck and collapse the pocket and do something. From then on, he has been invisible. Today, zero. And that's going back where he started his career in Baltimore.
Right. Where you should have had a big game.
Again, well, you thought, hey, I'm going to show these guys.
You know, one day, 1 hour, 15 minutes, or whatever the heck we would take, we should look into Pace and his signings the past 3 years and his draft choices. Because I'll tell you what, this guy.
They never match up right. It doesn't. There's no structure or
Lamar
plan.
Lamar Houston, $48 million. What did we get out of Lamar Houston? $48 million or whatever it was. It's just
nothing.
Staggering.
Dan, that's my point. One thing after another with this guy, and nobody holds this guy's feet to the fire. I don't get it.
People are texting in saying they had to get to the salary floor in the NFL. They had to spend some money. And I always look at that like, yeah, they do, but
well, spend it on somebody that can play football.
Yes.
Right.
How tough is that?
Your team that can play. Look, that young rookie that's starting for us at free safety, let's spend a little money on that kid. I mean, there are players out there. Kyle Fuller, you're in a contract year. Spend a little money on him. Give an extension. Kid looks good. Don't spend it on guys that can't block and make mistakes. That doesn't make sense.
You would have thought.
The wide receiver.
You would have. Alshon?
No.
It was Reuben Randall.
Wheatley.
Marcus Wheaton.
Marcus Wheaton has been a bust.
A complete. And he's not even, you know, he pulled a ham. He's not playing.
He's the highest paid skill player on the offense. And he had a broken pinky. And now he's out with some kind of
a ham.
A hamstring or groin?
You know, here's the thing.
Groin, ham, whatever. I mean, he has a soft muscle pull.
Glenn, here's the thing. This guy, I mean, these are huge contracts, folks. You're talking millions and millions of dollars to marginal players. That's the point. Now, he offers these contracts. Somebody above him. Somebody above him signs off on that. Pace just doesn't run around and to give out $45 million here. $11 million here, guarantee this, guarantee that. Somebody above him has to sign off on what the hell he's doing.
One last thing here. While we're talking about throwing millions and millions out the window, who was the MVP of the NFL last year, Carm?
The MVP of the NFL last year?
I'll tell you, it was Matt Ryan, the quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons. By the way, Jay Cutler went in there and beat him today.
Down 17 to nothing and came back and beat him.
Yeah, but Cuddy, listen. I'm just
telling you.
I mean,
18.5 for Glennon.
Or 9 for Cutler, and you still bring in Trubinsky anyway.
What we're talking about are the monies. The monies involved and who it's going to.
And why.
People right. that are very, very marginal players, and guaranteeing them millions upon millions of dollars. And they can't play dead on this damn team.
Something's coming in here. There we go.
It is hard to do things together, though. But go on.
Well, what I was just going to say, look, they went out and signed Mike Glennon, right? They have no wide receivers. You could have, not that I loved Alshon, but you could have franchised him.
$9-10 million?
More than that. But you know you're drafting Mitchell Trubisky. They just traded two picks in addition to one slot. You could have helped him out, made him look a little bit better, right?
You could have kept Alshon for somewhere around $14 million, okay? One year until you find out what you got in Kevin White. You got one more year to see what you got in Cam Meredith, which we got nothing out of them because they're both out for the season. By the way, I at some point, we're throwing all this at Pace, and it lands on his desk. But I'm telling you, John Fox is in as thick as thieves with him, up to his neck,
right?
Agreeing, because no coach is going to agree to have somebody come in that they don't want to coach, like a Brandon Martin. They're all complicit. And, Pace is just the tip of the spear.
Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago at 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV. We'll hear from the quarterback coming on back, Mitchell Trubisky, his first ever Bears win. We should hear from him on the postgame show, OB.
Well, just going to say, what we're talking about here is, and whether it's negative talk or whatever, but it's really not. It's you play this game to win the Super Bowl. You want to be the world champ, okay? And if some coach or some – you got scouts that can't figure out – look, just take a look at our scouts. They're bringing these people's names and all their qualifications to our coaching staff and the Pace. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Whoever these guys are, they wouldn't be working for me. Not in a heartbeat. We have people – You want to make winning fun. You want to make it as easy as you can, play as hard, and give your guys a chance, a game plan on both sides of the ball to win. To win. That's what you're here for. That's what we talk about. Take a look at what they're doing. Just look at what our coaching staff and our general manager are doing, and look at what the hell's on that field.
We'll hear from the quarterback coming back, and we can discuss whether Ryan Pace is safe. I think everybody agrees with that.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean he's not.
He should be afflicted and safe.
He has made a lot of mistakes. We're saying
he shouldn't be given a hall pass and say, "Oh, you're fine."
Right.
He's made enough mistakes where there should be a little pain.
Let's take a quick timeout. 720 WGN.
Touchdown, Bears!
Chicago Bears conversation is here. The Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
All right. 27-24, Bears beat the Ravens. Let us hear from the starting quarterback, his first ever NFL victory, and came on the road against the Ravens. Here is Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah, that was pretty much had a call. They gave us another exotic look on third down. O-line gave me some time. I had to buy a little bit more, and I just saw Kendall going over the middle. That's not exactly how we drew it up, but turned into a little broken play, and I just saw Kendall. I gave him a chance, and he made a heck of a catch.
How have you, over time, made sure that in those situations your eyes are downfield, you don't drop them and focus too much on the pass rush, and you still look at your options?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you just practice that. In practice, and then just stick to how you're coached. Go back to the basics. Stay within yourself. Stay within the offense, and just do your job. And it's all about trusting your teammates. O-line did a great job all day, controlling the line of scrimmage and giving me time. And we made it happen when we needed it. So it was good to see.
How much was ball security a point about this? There's a few throws, a little throwaway, especially one.
Mm-hmm.
Red zone. Were you reminding yourself?
Yeah, for sure. When you get in the point zone, you take incompletion over a risky throw. So. Then put ourselves in a lot of sticky situations for that. We came away with points, and it paid off in the end. So just try to learn from my mistake last week, force some ball when I need to. This week, played within myself and took what the defense gave me. And that's a really good defense out there today, so it's great to come away with a win, especially on the road.
How would you grade out Tariq on his touchdown pass?
A-plus. A-plus. On the money. Dime ball. It was awesome. I knew it was going to be a touchdown when it was called, so I was asking for it last week. The toss sucks up the defense, and Zach made a great catch behind him, and everyone just did their job. Tariq threw a dime ball.
Mitch, how quickly did you see Deion come open on that touchdown?
Yeah, so he's not the first read on that. And so I saw my first read. It wasn't open. I went through my second read, then had to buy a little bit more time, and then Deion just – I saw him wide open, and they just left him alone, and I just threw it up there. I didn't actually get to see him catch it. I got hit and was taken to the ground, so I'm looking forward to seeing it on film. But just finding open guys and making plays when it counts, just getting the ball to your playmakers. O-line did an awesome job, and Deion went up and made a great catch. So, I mean, that's we needed to score in that situation, and that was big. So defense had our backs all day, so we were able to play like that, just stay consistent, run the ball, pound it. Control the game, and it was a great team win.
What was your view of Jordan's 53-yard run? It looked like he kind of got caught up there and was free.
It was crazy. He ran like a warrior, and you're not surprised when you see that type of run. I mean, everyone's tired. It's overtime, sucking wind, and Jordan just continues to carry this team. Bounces outside, stays in, and then flips the field. So really, we're on their side of the field now. We know we could get a field goal to end it, and that was an awesome play by him and a great job of the O-line by just stretching it out, and not giving up, staying on their blocks, and Jordan just carrying his team as he does.
Mitch, how challenging is it for you as a quarterback to be patient in a game plan like today's, where you're not asked to throw the ball as much as maybe you'd like?
Yeah, for sure. It's all about what's necessary to be done for the team. What do you got to do to win? And today my job was to manage it, take care of the football. We weren't throwing as much, but they're playing a little more different coverage than we expected. They're playing more too high safety and giving us the running lanes. So we just got to try to stay away from the more third downs, their exotic looks. But yeah, you just do what you ask. You just do your job. And I think at the end, everyone pulled together. They did our jobs, and that's why we were able to come away with a victory, because no selfishness. Just play within the offense, play within yourself, stick together, and offense, defense, special teams have each other's back, and just come out with a win like that. It's cool.
So did you have an opportunity at the line in some instances to check the passes? I think the ratio was 50 runs for the running back, only 16 passes.
Yeah, like I said, that's what the defense was giving us. They're dropping out more than we expected, and that's why we continued to run the ball, and we were running the ball successfully, so we just wanted to stick with what was working, and we just pound the rock like we do and just do what's asked of you. So there wasn't as many checks from run to pass. It was checks run to run. So just continue to get us in the right situation, get down there, manage the game, and just try to keep everyone composed. And if we stick together, we can win more ball games.
There you go. Mitchell Trubisky in the locker room after the game. The play, we didn't really talk about it much. The touchdown throw that he threw to Deion Sims under heavy pressure and put it up there. I mean, he was wide open. Nobody covered him, but it was still a pretty good throw. And they needed it, obviously.
Look, that last play that won the game for him on 3rd and 11, because if he doesn't make that play, they're punting the ball. They're not going to kick a field goal there. So he stepped up, and then he slid to his right and was delivered a strike to him on the move.
Hey, the little I've seen of Trubisky, okay, last couple of weeks and the exhibition season, is the one thing I do believe, I think this kid has all the passes. If he wants to throw it 60 yards into the end zone, I believe he can do that. And I think if they just start getting this kid, let him have his head a little bit, because I'll tell you what, if we're going to go through the rest of the season with this game plan we had today, you're going to lose a running back, and a kid's not going to advance. He's not going to grow.
Eventually, they're going to have to get some playmakers around them. That's obvious. Trust is everything. It's golden for your insurance needs. It's nationwide agent Jeff Vukovic. JeffVuk.com, serving our area for 39 years. Nationwide is on your side. JeffVuk.com.
Mark, these are the guys they brought in, the receivers. They're the ones that think they can take us to the promised land.
Well, I think that they are well aware that they need upgrades.
So, no, they're not, because they brought them in. They brought these guys
in. They brought these guys in to be our receivers.
Ryan Pace, this is his guys.
Right. I get that. But you don't think that they came into the season thinking that, well, maybe they did, that we're going to be good with Cameron Meredith and Kevin White's going to be great.
Yeah, they did.
If they didn't think that, Mark, then what are they doing on this team? If they didn't think that, these are the guys that they brought in, all the information from the scouts and whatever they heard. These are the guys they went out and traded for in free agency and drafts. They brought in. Why? Because they're going to take us to the promised land. And look at what you got. You don't think we have a serious problem?
We got a $6 million receiver that caught one pass in six games.
Here's the deal. Marcus Wheaton was a first-round draft pick by the Steelers, okay? Obviously, they got Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant.
Then why is he Chicago Bears?
Because, they got two killers there, and they basically opted to go in another direction. But the point is, in Pace's defense, just like last week when we were looking at our interior linebackers when we were playing our fifth and sixth middle linebackers because everybody else is hurt or suspended, same thing. They thought that Kevin White and Cameron Meredith would be a solid starting duo, and then if they could get a Reuben Randall or a Wheaton or a Kendall Wright or somebody to jump up. Who was the other one from Julio?
Victor Cruz.
They thought they were looking for, gold dust here.
Lightning in a bottle.
Yeah. And obviously it's blown up in their face. The one thing is Deontay Thompson was released on Wednesday. And then Wheaton got hurt on Thursday. What?
And then Wheaton got hurt on Thursday.
Right. So I don't – maybe that was – they kept Josh Bellamy, which that's a head-scratcher. I'm just saying – I don't know what's going on.
Let's get into the newsroom here. Quick timeout, and then we'll get to your calls. 312-981-7200. Hamp, it'll be with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Coming. Trubisky steps up, throws, and the catch is made. Kendall Wright, leaping grab inside the 25-yard line from 40 yards out. And the Bears win it. The Chicago Bears come into Baltimore. Mitchell Trubisky, their quarterback, has won his first game in the NFL.
Bears get a win, 27-24. They beat the Baltimore Ravens. Their quarterback took a step forward today. First win in the book for Mitchell Trubisky. The Carolina Panthers up next. 312-981-7200. That is the phone number here. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com.
And we really haven't thrown enough kudos at the defense. They basically gave up three field goals. Two touchdowns scored were on returns.
Special teams, right.
The defense, they were 3 of 17 on third down. I mean, they really play well. Hey, Flacco is miserable right now. They don't have a running game. All in all, they did what they had to do. They gave us a chance to win. By gosh, we found a way to pull it out.
I can't remember the Bears secondary playing that well in a long time. Yep. I mean, they were all over the field.
It's good. And you know what? Quentin Dimes was supposed to be a big upgrade. Well, Adrian Amos has played really well
since
now that
he
he's
got
back.
He got a second chance. And sometimes that's what you need. You got to lose something to actually want it and get hungry. So.
Yeah, and you know what? Let's be realistic. Both of those interceptions were almost freak caroms off of the receiver's pads, his hands, whatever. But, hey, we caught them. Normally our DBs hadn't caught anything.
Right.
Well, the whole thing, and I said on the opening volley, I think it was all about defense today. That's truly what it was. Forget about Trubisky being a rookie, playing. Forget about all that stuff. It was all about the defense. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. Did they come to play? And they did, and they put it to them play after play, quarter after quarter. And, again, kudos to the defense. If they didn't play the way they did today, that's another game we don't win.
Stepped up in overtime, too, on some bad field position. Got a three and out when they had to have it. Let's get Jason in here, 312-981-7200. Wants to talk about the Aaron Rodgers injury, who broke his right collarbone today.
Wow.
Go ahead, Jason.
Yeah, I think that I'm never wishing an injury on anybody, but I think the last person to knock out Rodgers, wasn't he a Bears player one time?
Yes,
Corey Wooten. Shea McClellan, right.
Shea McClellan, the only thing he ever did.
And we won that game. It's the last time we beat the Packers up there.
Josh McCown.
Yeah.
And I don't think they won another game after he didn't play no more. Did Green Bay ever win another game after that?
Yeah, they did, actually. They bounced back.
But they did after he came back. But my thing is this. Now, is everybody in the division in play now? Because I don't think Green Bay can win another game.
Yeah, you're probably right, but I will tell you that you're still chasing Minnesota that has an unbelievable defense, and with their backup quarterback now, their starter, that's still the
Case
team
Keenum.
To beat. Yeah.
Hey, you know, here's the thing. Right now, hey, we're on the bus. We're not in the front row. We're not even in the middle.
We are
the
on the bus.
We're
again.
On the back. We're in the back seat now.
But
we're on the bus. But. You know, we got a lot of stuff to straighten out before we can even think about that. But let me just say this. You know, crazier things. And, you know, defense, running game, and a young quarterback with the whole world as an upside, even though we don't have any receivers. Hey, I'm not going negative. I'm saying, hey, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? Hey, we got Carolina coming in. Carolina got embarrassed at home. On Thursday night this past week. They've got, a lot of talent. Cam Newton, we all know what he's capable of. I think he had 2 weeks in a row where he's like 700 total yards, 6 touchdowns, blah, blah, blah. Hey.
He threw 5 picks on last game.
But if we win this game, oh, my goodness, now we're 3-4. Hey, that's all you can do is just worry about this week coming up.
Stranger things have happened.
From a Packers perspective, if you're a Packer fan, the 5 words you don't want to hear is Brett Hundley is coming in. And you heard that today.
Here's the difference between the Packers and New England. New England has more than a proven backup. More than a proven backup. Brady goes down, this kid steps in, you're not missing that much. Green Bay, everything again is around Rodgers. Everything is around him. He's the heart and soul of that team. And I'll tell you what, this could be.
Opens the door.
This could be
real interesting, that's for sure.
23-10, they lost to the Vikings. Brett Hundley threw 1 touchdown and 3 interceptions. I mean, it's not anywhere close to the same team.
Mark, the point is the Packers really don't have the solid backup.
Nope.
They never expected this. Guess what? New England, Bill Belichick, the head coach. That guy covers all areas.
Heck, he was down to his 4th string quarterback at one point last year, and they were winning games. I mean, it's remarkable.
You talk about injuries. I can't remember what year was it, maybe 4, 5, 6 years ago, whatever, 7, whatever it is, when New England won the Super Bowl. Folks, listen to this. They won the Super Bowl. You know, everybody talks about injuries. Oh, they're decimated with injuries. They won the Super Bowl, check it out, with 13 starters
injured,
out.
Right.
13 starters out, and they win the Super Bowl. So when people talk about injuries, yeah, I don't want to play with injuries, it's this or that. Folks. I'm not buying that.
Well, you got to have that quarterback.
And here's the other thing. Cam Newton, this last week against Philadelphia, he had a quarterback rating of 48.5.
Ouch.
So he threw 1 touchdown, 3 interceptions, and he was off the mark all night long, missing wide open receivers. So, you know, listen, the Bears, you know, Carolina doesn't scare us. This is a team that, you know, can play hot or they'll run cold.
Well, am I to understand that Luke Kuechly is out?
Well, he had a concussion.
And
he
who
left.
He is, folks, he's the middle linebacker for the Carolina Panthers. And I believe he just happens to be the best middle linebacker in football by a ton. And he is out. Is that correct?
Well, he left this last game with a concussion. This will be his 3rd concussion in the last 3 years.
Yeah, well.
They're 4-2. They've beaten the Niners, the Bills, the Patriots, and the Lions. They've lost to the Saints and the Eagles. So, I mean, it's a huge – they went to New England and won. And I don't care how bad the Patriots' defense is. That's an impressive win. They went to Detroit. They went to Detroit and won. Yes. That's another good
one. But it hinges off Cam Newton being accurate, and he wasn't accurate in this last game, and ultimately that's why they lost.
Let's do a little preview of Carolina coming up here, and we can sneak in a couple
more. I think we
more.
Just did.
Well, we can maybe get a little more here, too. Well, how about this? We'll talk to you, and we want to do that right now, Ham? Let's do that right now.
Yeah,
Joe, we don't want to make you wait. Go ahead, Joe. What do you got?
Hi, I'm on the radio right now.
You are, Joe.
Thank you. This is for Ed O'Bradovich, Cause, and Hampton. Thanks for teaming up for being the best analysis in the country as far as I'm concerned. I was very religious with Doug Buffon. I'm a 85 Bears fan all the way, went to all the playoff games. Here's my point today. There's a little bit too much negativity. There'll be a few people around that say, let's enjoy the moment for the time being. And the other thing is to say that next week, Mike Dicker once was a Minnesota game with Jim Harbaugh, understand is a season. I hate to say this, but we're right back in there if we can win next week.
There you go,
yes,
Joe. There you go, baby.
Joe, you're right.
All right.
You're right.
Our final timeout, 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
I go ahead.
No, you go ahead, OB. Go.
I just thought of this. In Las Vegas, do you think there are odds on the Bears? I'm just saying, for them winning the division now,
of course,
that Aaron Rodgers is out. Do you think there's such a bet like that in Vegas?
Absolutely. There's every bet in Vegas. You want to get in on it?
No.
I'd throw 50 cents on it.
Remember that you've got to climb over the Lions and the Vikings, and we've already lost to the Vikings once, and we got to go
up
to their place.
Yeah.
Usually we beat them down here, you know, at home.
As of October the 10th, OB, Bears odds to win the Super Bowl. Super Bowl 52. You want to gander a guess?
300.
Got to be 200 plus to 1.
They started the year at 100 to 1. They're 500 to 1, which is fourth from the bottom.
Wow, we were
500 to 1?
Yeah.
Who are we ahead of?
We're ahead of the Cleveland Browns, who are 9,999 to 1. The San Francisco 49ers 1,001, the Giants are 1,001, and then the Bears, four from the bottom.
Wow.
We're behind the Jets, the Chargers, the Dolphins, the Colts.
Well, as soon as we get off the air, I want you to place a call and tell them that we won a game on the road for the first time in 652 days. So,
658.
Hey, things have turned around in Chicago.
The worm has turned, baby. We're coming for it.
How many days?
658.
Watch out, the rest of the NFL. We're coming after you.
658 days, December 27, 2015. They beat Carolina. They beat Tampa 26-21. So,
and they're only a game back from Detroit right now.
Yeah,
you know. So
there you go. Huge day. So if you're just joining us and wondering how the Bears won, they did it on the ground today. Big day for Jordan Howard. Can they run the football effectively against Carolina?
They're going to have to. And there's no two ways about it. This is not going to be a passing-centric football team until we get better receivers, better players, better offensive game plans. You know, and again, we need to capitalize on what we do have. What do we got? We got the run, and we got some decent tight ends as receivers. Augment that with a Kendall Wright strike down the middle once in a while. But, hey, until something better comes along, we're going to have to ride the horse we got.
I agree with Dan, but the only thing I will say about passing is if Kendall Wright, who whatever, these guys, you know that every time, I don't care who the quarterback is with the Bears, he drops back to pass, and let's say he launches the pass to whoever the target is. You know there's a 50-50 chance the receiver might not catch the damn ball?
You've been optimistic.
Well, I'll tell you this. My son...
That's unbelievable.
OB, to put a little bow tie on that, little Dan, I said... I can't remember. I said Dan Bellamy, or I forgot. And little Dan looked it up real quick. He's real fast on his phone. And he goes, oh, Josh Bellamy. And he goes, you know what comes up? And I said, no. He goes, a compilation of Josh Bellamy drops. That when you go to Google Josh Bellamy, the first thing that comes up is a compilation of the clips of him dropping the football.
Well, that's another one of Pace's picks.
There you go. Think about that.
Yeah.
Instead of touchdown catches or a dazzling
amazing,
move.
Yeah, amazing catches.
It's a compilation of all of the drops that he's had.
You know what the amazing thing is, guys? You can't make this stuff up, folks. Honest to God.
What's the odds in Vegas on him catching the net?
Yeah. What are the odds in Vegas of a receiver catching a ball, period?
100% odds. Will be with you next week at 3 o'clock after the Bears and Carolina. You guys want to wish the Chicago Cubs good luck tonight?
Wish the Cubs good luck.
Go Cubs!
There you go.
And also, the Bears, love to see them win, but I love to see them win in a manner that they should be winning games.
It's fun to have them win, but we'd just like to see a better performance where you feel like they did everything and put themselves in a position to close the game at the end.
Let me tell you something. You're not going to run in this league. I don't give a damn who, what, where, when. You are not going to run from week to week to week and win a football game and get to the Super Bowl. It's just not going to happen.
We'll see what happens next week. The Bears and the Panthers will be with you at 3. And, again, good luck to the Cubbies tonight. And we'll talk to you next week with Hampo B. and Kaz on 720 WGN.